You know, the next, I always say the next 4 days, but the next 4 weeks, we are going to dive into understanding, loving, and falling in love with prayer. and, you know, as Terry was saying, that we have just come from a wonderful, beautiful word picture that God has given us when we went to the sanctuary. And I always, as I said to you last time, and to the last group, that the morning group, excuse me, is that it is a word picture, I believe, that the Lord is reminding you that you are honored, you are accepted, and you are celebrated because you are royalty. The very thing that the enemy has been doing to you, you know, the world's doing to us, is because they're trying to remove that title that God has given us, the mark that God has given you as women who are royal before the Lord. And we are royal. And you know, I shared this with the other group. I said that when the Lord, one day the Lord told me, Mila, just act royal and the enemies will bow. So I learned that as I go into the negotiation in the business world, and even negotiation in the ministry, there's always going to be some people who's going to be asking your role, your office, your calling, but you need to have that confidence in you that God not only have marked you, loved you, redeemed you, and called you his treasure. And we need to enjoy that as women. Well, the Lord is going to do something wonderful, beautiful for Valley Community Church. I believe that. You know, 1 o'clock this morning, I was able to send this to Jeremy. And the Lord has given me these wonderful titles. I said, but Lord, you know, I don't know what to put in those titles. But, you know, today the Lord has given me scriptures to share with you, to talk to you about falling in love with prayer. So today we are going to talk about breakthrough prayer. Breakthrough is a military move, a military word, a military dynamic. It says a military movement and advance all the way through. In other words, our prayer is going to penetrate beyond the enemy's frontline defense. You know what that is? That is removing all the no's. I'm telling you, it's removing all the opposition that God has already given you, your healing, your family, your future. You know, the freedom that God has given you, God is getting, we are walking into this new, you know, season of understanding what breakthrough is. I kind of want to share a little bit with you because the Lord reminded me to share this vision that the Lord, in the Spirit the Lord gave me. You know, the world is busy today looking at signs and wonders. You know, we're looking at the wars and rumors of wars. But the Lord whispered to me, but Mila, when I pick up my bride, you don't need a sign. My Father is just going to tell the bridegroom, it's time for you to pick up your bride. It isn't a twinkling of an eye. It's going to be at midnight. And you and I don't need to have any signs. God says, I want you to fill your oil and your lamp to the brim. You guys, you and I have been told today that we need to be ready because the bridegroom is going to come before the wrath is going to be poured. Because you and I have already satisfied God's wrath and his anger towards sin has already been exhausted because Jesus became the reservoir of that wrath when he hung on the cross. Every drop of anger about sin, every drop of anger to sinners has already been exhausted in Jesus Christ. That you and I do not have to go through the wrath that the world is going to go through. And it's something that the Lord has put in my heart. You know, because I've always asked him about what does that mean when you say that this generation will not pass away? I mean, there's so many generations that has passed away already. And the Lord to put this in my heart. The generation that's going to be left behind after I take my bride, that generation will not die until they're going to see the last drop of breath that God is going to pour upon this world. You know what that means? You and I don't want anyone to be left behind. That means our children, our family, our neighbors, people that we know. You know what that is? Urgency. And that one cannot be taken by a garage sale or projects. It can only be done on our knees. That's why I believe the Lord is stirring each one of us to pray. And so today when we're going to talk about this, I believe that we're going to understand why we're talking about prayer, the intensity of this prayer, and really understanding the book Matthew chapter 6, verse 33 that says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things shall be added unto you." What does it mean to you? What does it mean that when you and I are going to pray the hours and the minutes and the time that we are going to pray and we're going to say, "Lord," but we are so used to praying, "Father, bless me, my husband, my children, my son and my daughter, ask for, amen." Well, God is going to take us beyond the prayer. God is going to take us to a breakthrough prayer, that we're going to infiltrate the barrier that the enemy has placed in our prayer life, that we are going to penetrate and we are going to shatter the enemy's stronghold. And we're going to say no more. You know, I was sharing this morning that I had lunch with my nephew yesterday. He's my cousin's nephew. Of course, our family goes away to the fourth generation even further. Because I want to claim as much people that I have, because I have a kinsman redeemer anointing. I am claiming the treasures before Satan claims them. And you can go beyond your children, your cousins, your nieces, your nephews, and God has given you the right to claim them for God. I think the Lord is going to expand that vision for us. You know, my nephew was 16 years old when he started getting in trouble. You know, my cousin, who is a doctor, was the instrument that God used to lead me to the Lord. And I felt in my heart that I have a ministry to pay back. You know, this nephew of ours was in trouble when he was 16 years old, and, you know, for petty theft, you know, very, you know, well-off family. But somehow, somewhere, he got, you know, stuck with a wrong crowd. And California, three strikes law. He was 16, he was caught petty theft, 17, and then when he was 18, he was caught. This time with a grown-up, and the grown-ups left him the gun, and he got the third strike, and he was sentenced for life imprisonment. Breakthrough prayer is saying, "No way. God promised me. The world will say that he's going to die in jail, but the word of God said that children of the righteous shall be established." Well, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, the Lord stirred our hearts to put a good lawyer. We petitioned the governor of California, and he signed him free. And he finished, you know, his master's in divinity in jail. And I sat down with him. I've been meeting with him a few times. He's now married. And I told him, "You paid so much price, and I want you to allow the Lord to use you to reach out to your generation." You know, this is the prayer that God wants us to have. This is a breakthrough prayer, I believe, that Valley Community Church Women is going to go into. And I feel that we are about to just participate with something that God is going to do, something big. So today, we're going to talk about prayer. You know, Spurgeon said that he who knows how to overcome with God in prayer has heaven and earth at his or her disposal. That's amazing, isn't it? I don't care what the politician says. I don't care what the news said. But God said in his word, we overrule. Are you guys excited about this? I mean, you know, you go to our prayer room and you come out and say, "Excuse me, I have inside information." We overrule. That is so awesome, isn't it? You can go to the boardroom meeting and you have a grin in your face because you know it's already rigged in your favor. But we need to show up. We need to show up and understand and fall in love with what prayer is. You know, Wesley said, it is God's chosen way to bring heaven's power and heaven's resources and heaven's angels into action on earth. Do you want to participate with that? Oh, yeah. The world, you know, Bill Hymer said, the world is a laboratory in which who's destined for the throne. Who's destined for the throne? That's us. I'm telling you. Are learning an actual practice how to overcome Satan and his hierarchy. Well, are you guys having practice? Because guess what? For thousands and thousands of years, we're going to rule and reign. So, but in the book of Psalms 115, verse 16 is the heaven, even the heavens of heavens, other translation says, is the Lord's. But the earth, he has given to the children of men. So this earth today, I would ask you today, when you are going to say, Lord, what's happening? God says, don't ask me, I'm asking you. You guys are doing a pretty bad job in running the earth. I gave it to you. Every time we look up to the heaven and say, what's going on? God is saying to you, what's going on? Hello? This is something that you have to chew on and really meditate. God is saying, I have given you authority. The kingdom of hell will not prevail against the church of the living God. And we need to see that, but come to pass in our lifetime. In our lifetime. I've been asking the Lord, I want you to send me another revival the way you sent it to me before. I walk into the elevator, people get saved, you know, the bus stop, people get saved, you know, the every floor get saved, the doctors get saved, the nurses get saved, their family gets saved. Where is it now? God is visiting us again. Because God is telling you to me that prayerlessness is a neutralizing force to any ministry. We can pack this church, thousands, but if there's nobody there praying, it's going to neutralize the vision and the mission God has called this church. Even in our the Philippine office, we have intercessors that's on payroll. You know, when I go home today, I have a meeting with the Philippines because we are trying to meet with the engineer who's going to demolish our walls because the church that's being birthed in that office is now expanding, marketplace. They're now standing room only. With the restriction of COVID, God is visiting us. So we need to really fall in love. So in the next 4 weeks, the Lord gave me topics. You know, the Lord told me this one time, I don't want you to give my children recycled leftovers. I want you to seek my face when you speak to them. You know, I've been teaching prayer so many times, and I'd like to, Lord, can I use that? He says, no. Well, I feel that the Lord is putting in my heart, this is my people and women in Valley Community Church. I am speaking to every heart. That each one of you, this message that the Lord is giving us, is healing you. In fact, the Lord spoke to me last week that I am going to address the women issues in their lives. May it be your stress, your loneliness, may it be your physical issues of being a woman. God says, this is the season I am going to make you whole. This is the season that I'm going to set you free. And if you believe that, not because I said it, but because his word says so, you're going to see a transformation in your life. By the time we're done in this series, I really believe the Lord showed me I'm going to make my women whole. So I want to talk to you about the topics we're going to be talking about. We are going to talk about falling in love with prayer. That's what we're talking about tonight. Falling in love with prayer. I mean that you cannot wait to wake up so you can see him, meet with him. You're going to watch your schedule that it doesn't matter. You know, I said it this morning. God is not really impressed with your schedule, you know. God, you know my name. I'm running companies, God. And you know I have a lot of meetings. And that's so. You have an appointment with me. You know, I wake up, and you know, sometimes when I'm changing seasons in my home, I'm supposed to be summer now. I'm still spring. I kind of like spring. My husband says, I like it like this. He's saying that because he doesn't want me to decorate again. But but you see, when I decorate until, you know, sometimes 5, 4 o'clock, you know, in the morning, and, you know, I go to sleep and I wake up exactly the same time. I say, well, you want to decorate, but you have an appointment with me. In other words, we need to come to the place that we are serious about the appointment with the King. And you know what? Maybe you're not there yet, but trust me, I struggled too. I negotiate with him. Wake me up tomorrow, please, tomorrow. It's too early. I mean, can we move it next week, please? But you know, once that it's going to be stuck with you, I travel all over the world, he wakes me up the same time. Because God is going to put it in each one of you that it's going to be part of us. Because we don't have any other choice. So we're going to be learning about falling in love with prayer. And we're going to be talking about our heavenly calling, because you are his treasure, royal priesthood. Do you know that you are his special treasure, and each one of us are being put in the chest box of the Lord, in the presence of his throne room, women who called, who answered the call of royalty, royal priesthood unto him. We're going to learn that. And we are also going to learn the bridal call, the woman who is so beautiful with the combat boots. That is a wonderful, beautiful picture. God is saying, don't just look there looking beautiful as a bride. I want you to engage the enemy in battle. Don't just look there looking pretty. Go to war. Hello? Like this, you know, fig tree. I said, you're looking really beautiful. Well, you produce fruit. All of us have been called to do that. God is going to dress us up. He's going to give us beautiful cars, whatever that is. You know what? Why people dress up? Why I dress up? Why? Because this is my uniform, because I am in the marketplace. If I'm not in the marketplace, God's going to give me another uniform. You understand? So don't be worried about what other people have, or because it is our calling. And God is going to meet us where we're at. You know, so those are things. And then we're going to learn about worship, the revelation God is going to bring us a prayer breakthrough. You know, worship is not, guys, it's not an exercise to bring the presence of the Lord. Worship is a result of being in his presence. We're going to understand that this worship that God is going to, you know, one few weeks ago, I was praying in the praying room, and sometimes I go down and continue my prayer, but this time, I just started, I read my, I had communion, read the word, and I just started singing. And I started singing again and went to every room, and it was almost past lunchtime. And the Lord spoke to me, and he said, I missed you. Because we can be so burdened with so many things, but God just really wants you to spend time with him. You know what? Because he's telling to you, I got it. All of these things will be added to you. I promised you the things that you are burdened with becomes my agenda. Just spend time with me. I always say that beware of a revelation that is not because a result of worship. A worship that because there is a fellowship. A fellowship because there is a relationship. A relationship because there is repentance. And repentance because there is conviction of the Holy Spirit. I always worry about people who's giving revelation and I don't know their prayer life. Because we get into danger when you and I want revelation and we do not have a fellowship and worship to him. We're going to be touching on divine interception and divine intervention, we hope. You know, one of the new things the Lord is putting in my spirit is that when you understand as a royal priesthood, you will understand the sacrifice on the altar. And that sacrifice is beyond the tithe. When you and I understand that we cannot come before him empty-handed, And the gift that we give him is going to set into motion and giving God the right to intervene and intercept our mistakes. You know, writing this book, you know, these three books, that we are now in our fifth book. We're in the process. I don't know the rules of writing. In fact, I write, if you notice, I write a lot of things and I tell the Lord, Lord, is that okay? That's okay, it's your style. You know, I go home sometimes after I'm preaching and they're correcting me. He says, Lord, what happened? He says, that's okay, I don't speak English either. You know what the Lord told me? That's okay, I don't speak English either, so don't worry. And I do a lot of this, grammar, whatever. You know, listen, I speak five dialects, you know, and I mix up my healthcare and the ministry together. And after I preach, I say, what happened? Because it gets all mixed up. I say, and the Lord says, it's okay. The Holy Spirit is going to translate it for them. Isn't that amazing? Well, you know, when I was writing that book, I've been praying for my cousin for 30 years. And he read my book. Oh, I really like what I read. He accepted the Lord. He's now a Christian. But that book, a lot of people has a lot of, you know, comments where I should do it, how do I do it. I spent a lot of money for that, and I spent a lot of long hours for that. It's really okay. God already approved it. I already approved it. And he asked me, he says, how come this abbreviation, you know, they abbreviate the books of the Bible. He says, I don't understand this. And you know what? For that reason alone, I never abbreviate the books of the Bible again. I write the full books of the Bible, so we have more pages in our book, and we have pages to pay. You know, the fee is more because now it's more pages. But if I felt in my heart, I said, Lord, for my cousin to come to you, I can pay some more pages in the book. That's why I don't abbreviate. You see, our decisions is because of the souls of men. It has nothing to do about the approval of men. It has to be because for the souls of men. And then we're going to talk about transaction versus transformation. You know, we need to remember this, that we are going before the, when we pray, we're not going to go there, Lord, do this, amen. You know, we pray for 2 hours. I prayed for 2 hours before, but I was so busy looking. Oh, you know, I have 300 nieces and nephews, you know. Each one of my nieces and nephews, I give them all the list of everybody. Now everybody, new birth, we add again the name. Because we pray for each one of them. And, you know, so it takes so long in prayer, you see. And then after I speak, and this one, Lord, amen, hallelujah, amen, goodbye. I just, hello, wait a minute, what about me? I don't get to talk? Our prayer is going to be changed because he is the king, and we need to let the king speak. And so when we go to prayer, we are not doing a transaction. We're doing a transformation because in the presence of the king, you do not have any other choice. You're going to be changed. If we say that we are a prayer warrior and we have the same bad habits, in 3 years ago, then we probably entering the wrong second place because we will be transformed. We don't have any other choice. It says danger, high voltage. Just enter in and watch the transformation in your life. Because, you know, this morning, Judas stayed for 3 years with Jesus Christ, and he was not able to address the stronghold of his life. We could be praying and praying and praying, because we're busy doing transaction rather than being transformed by the king. We have now used so much hours because the one who is important in the prayer, it became us instead of him. We're going to change this because, you know, I'm talking to the choir right now, but I feel in my heart that you're going to learn this so you can train this and we can share this to the other women. It is an altar of exchange. When you come to prayer, you do not leave that place without leaving something behind and taking something with you. Lord, I am so lonely. When you come out of that prayer room, you better receive the joy of the Lord. Because I am not living here without an exchange. I want you to give me an assurance that salvation will come to my whole household. That's why I came here. That's prayer breakthrough. Lord, I came here because I want you to heal my marriage. And I am not living here until you give me the verdict that according to your word, it shall be. And if we're not have that kind of a mindset, then why are we praying? This is something I believe that we are going to be transformed. So we pray without ceasing. We ask the Lord, Lord, what is your will in my life? Well, let me show you. 1 Thessalonians, God's going to tell you. You know, pray without ceasing is, you know, the book of Psalms 119 says, 7 times a day I praise you, 7 times a day, because of your righteous judgment. Is it 7 times a day? You know, the Muslims pray 5 times a day. Well, at least we beat them because 7 times a day. I was sharing with them, you know, I'm very familiar about this 5 times a day prayer. I'm very familiar about the wailing in the morning that happens, you know, especially in the Ramadan time. But, you know, when I went to a Muslim nation, you know, to do a marketplace ministry, we stayed in the Millionaire's Row, you know, where these Christian businessmen move from one nation to another with a purpose to infiltrate, and they do businesses, you know. They have millions with them, and the purpose is that we're going to do an office or a business that when they come into the business, they disciple them according to the word with their business. That's what we're doing. And when the Lord tells them, okay, it's done, move to another nation. This time, you know, we moved with a, we were invited with the millionaire, Malaysian millionaires. And I was waking up again. The Lord wakes me up at the same time, and I was just praying to the Lord. I was singing. And before I know it, somebody's singing with me, and it was the wailing of the Muslim cry. And as you know, that morning when I was picked up, this young man that picked me up, you know, he's an architect, and he went to Malaysia on an undercover pizza delivery guy because he wants to infiltrate with the gospel. You know, our goals changes because of the souls of men. And he talked to me and he said, you know, I asked the Lord, I want you to bring me to that place so I understand what they're praying for, because I want to penetrate the Muslim world. You know, we had a business dealing with a Malaysian businessman. We put a lot of money in it, and my husband forgave me about it. We lost that business. You know, it's so nice to have a husband that forgives you. And he did not tell me, I'm getting it from your allowance. And it is funny. But anyway, when we went there, he said, you know, Mila, Sister Mila, I went there, and I thought I was going to go crazy. There are 3 things that the Muslim pray for: the annihilation of Israel, the bankruptcy, economic bankruptcy of the United States of America, and the Christian marriages to be broken and their children to be in drugs. And I ask you and me to intensify our prayer life. That's why I really thank God for this privilege to talk to you guys about prayer. One thing I desire of the Lord, that I will seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, that I will behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. In Thessalonians it says, for God did not appoint you to wrath. You have to remember this. God did not appoint us to wrath. That's why I really believe that God is going to call his bride before the wrath is going to be poured. And if it doesn't, we still fall in love with him. I want you to read this on your own, but I want to just focus on some of the things that, because we ask, what is God's will for us? One of God's will for us, that we're going to be at peace with ourselves. One of the will of the Lord is that we are going to to respect those who are above us. I really believe these intercessors need to have a covering that they are looking up to respect. You know, that's why God, you know, we have our own ministry. We're all over right now, but we chose to have a pastor. Because it's so dangerous for you and me not to be covered in the battlefield. And when we have a pastor, we need to respect them. We need to protect them. Because this is formation of battle. When I say people, oh, I am an intercessor, I always ask, who's your pastor? Especially you're a prophet, I want to ask, who's your pastor? Intercessors, who doesn't report to anyone, is in danger. So today we need to make a resolve in our heart that we're going to align with the pastors the Lord gives us. We cannot afford to be generals in the battlefield, and we are not in formation. And so it says here, see that no one renders evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good both for yourself and for all. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and in everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. So don't fast anymore. Don't seek the Lord anymore about knowing his will. He already wrote it in his word. Let's pray for other things. Oh, I'm really praying for God's will for my life, okay? Oh, I've been praying for 3 weeks for what God wants me to do. God says, I want you to pray for souls. They're being lost every second. And we're going to lose them forever. God makes sure that his word is clear so you and I do not have to have other agendas that will sidetrack us for God wants us to do. Falling in love with prayer. Your prayer is not going to be stirred because you have a need. You know, I just said this morning, a 911 experience to any even normal relationship is not sustainable. If you and I are just going to seek the Lord because we have an emergency, if I'm just going to talk to my husband because I have an emergency, and the rest I'm really okay, you know, I'll talk to you later, then this relationship is not going to be cannot survive. The 911 experience is not just, you know, I want to stand in your presence. The experience that God wants you and me to have is that we're going to abide in his presence. May there be a storm, may there be famine, I am abiding in you. That is how we sustain this relationship. And so God is saying to us that we need to fall in love with this prayer. And we go to prayer not because of a need, but because of his word. I'm going to prove that to you. You know, I always tell this to the Lord. I say, Lord, you know, when you're giving me something, you need to back it up with prayer, with scripture. That's why I have a lot of scriptures. And I'm telling you, I'm saying something again. Anyway, I was praying one day. I said, you know, Lord, I did not finish Bible college, so you really need to be sure, because when I'm going to speak to your people, I really need to be backed up by scripture. I am telling you. When I say that, the scriptures just like, just all over, you know? And then I said, Lord, I cannot remember. It's too much. And the Lord says, don't worry. I'm creating a library in you. Very, very real. And it says, and when you need it, I'm going to tell you where to pull it. And when I'm speaking, the Lord just pulls it one after another. You know why he does that to me? Because I need a lot of help. So a lot of you guys are really doing good, but I need a lot of help. So, you know, he reminds me. So he's reminding me, this is amazing. You know, the word of God is so wonderful and beautiful. And can I have a tissue? There, but sorry. You erased that from the tape. You know, I have an IT young man that edits all my tape. Because I do a lot of, you know, interim. He says, Mom, I'm editing a lot of your tape. I said, that's your job, so edit it. Anyway, so let's go. Look at this in Psalm 43, verse 3-4. Oh, send out your light and your truth. What is that? That's the word of God. Let them lead me. Let them bring me to your holy hill, prayer, and to your tabernacle presence, and then I will go to the altar of God. Your prayer is motivated because of that word, guys.
You're not going to go to prayer because I'm an emergency. Yes, but the one that is going to establish you, the one that is going to sustain you, the one that's going to give you a guarantee is the word. This is so important. I am going to court and I know I'm going to win because it is written, it is written, it is done. And I think this is how we're going to see prayer. That's why we're going to be excited about prayer. Because can you imagine us showing up in court and the enemy is going to watch us and they're going to say, done deal. My dad is, the judge is my dad. The mediator is Jesus Christ. And the power of the Holy Spirit is reminding me about my inheritance, the executor of my inheritance. And the blood is speaking on my behalf as a witness against you. And I am telling you, it's a done deal. I win all the time. But that's why God says, come, so you will see the experience of the victory you've been waiting for. It's very important that we fall in love with prayer, especially in this time and this season. God is bringing this church to birth something really big. And guess what? God is asking us to participate. You know, I like the word participating because it protects you and me. I don't want to be in the front line, I'm telling you. It's dangerous to be in the front line without covering. You know, I don't want to be, oh, this, Lord, can I just hide? You know, I told this morning, is it, this pulpit is the most dangerous place to be. I told the Lord, I don't want pulpit. I don't want leadership. I don't want deliverance. And God did not listen to me. Because this is a very dangerous place. God expects from us every word that comes out of our mouth needs to be backed up by his word. And so it's important for us that, you know what, it's okay when we are not going to be, oh, didn't notice what I did. That's good. Can you imagine when God tells you this, did you see my servant Job? I said, no, Lord, I don't want that. Because, yes, but Job got blessed many times. Yeah, but he has another wife. I don't want another husband. I don't want another children. I really love my family. I want to keep them exactly. So I just want to be in the background. It's okay. If nobody recognizes you, if you are in the prayer closet, I am more comfortable being in the prayer closet. That is the waters that God has given me. And of course, the Lord has called me to teach. And when my pastor asked me to preach, then I just say, yes, sir. But I'm not looking for a speaking ministry. Some of you have been called to do that. You need to do that because you have to obey. But we do not seek something to acknowledge us so we can be in the front line. It's a very dangerous place. So, in Psalm 119, it says, my soul faints with longing for your salvation, but I have put my hope in your word. So God says, I want you to tune up. Tune up. You ask and you do not receive because you ask and pray amiss. So God says, God, tune me up, Lord. I really believe this time that we're going to go through is tuning up our prayer life, that we are going to be bullseye. We are going to be on point. I am telling you, the enemy right now is shaking because right now God is tuning us up. We're going to go to battle. We might be looking beautiful as a bride, but I am telling you, we have combat boots. We're ready to fight. And so this is where God is saying, this is the hindrance to your prayer. If I had cherished sin in my life, in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. But God has surely listened and has heard my prayer. In other words, God says, I want you to come before me and I want you to come in repentance. And trust me, repentance is a lifestyle. And you know when you pray that something's wrong, right? You know, after you committed sin and asking forgiveness later, like slapping somebody first and just, Lord, can I slap her and then ask forgiveness later, right? I mean, in my Christian walk, early in my Christian walk, I feel like doing that to, you know, the board meeting, you know. And, you know, there's us. Anyway, I say, Lord, can I just slap them and then ask forgiveness later? And if you want to go to pray, and you cannot pray. Because God will not allow you to come in. Because we need to repent before we can
come before the altar of the Lord. So in other words, when you know, like my husband and I mean, hello, marriages, people tell you we're not fighting. That's a lie. That's not true. Because, you know, when you're a husband and wife, there is going to be that conversation. I call it, Dad and Mommy are having conversation. And so my son says, Mom, are you done with the conversation? But you see, when we go through this conversation, and a lot of times it's because I don't agree with his principle about money. I really believe that when you spend the money, it's a waste of time for you to write down where you spent it. I keep telling him, you're just wasting your time asking me where I spent it. I mean, we should just make more money. Until now, we don't agree with that. I keep telling him, it's just really a waste of time. I don't understand. Well, anyway, so, you know, we have this conversation. And then I always tell the Lord, we have an agreement that we cannot go to sleep until we pray. So I say this, Lord, can you please tell him sorry to me so I can go to sleep? But you see, something happened. We cannot go to sleep unless we pray. So in other words, God is telling us today that there is going to be a transformation in your prayer life. Of course, you know that was when we were very young, married. But I kind of know now. And my husband forgives me with my spending. Yeah, he does. Anyway, so we need to come before the Lord in repentance. We also need to understand that we have to have a plan. Guys, when you are a prayer warrior, you need to have a journal. You know, I love this church. I love our pastors teaching us to journal, 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 journal. If you're not journaling today, first you need to repent, and then you need to obey. Journal. You got a journal. There are mornings that the Lord will wake me up and says, Mila, I want you to pull your 2015 or 2013 journal. Because sometimes the enemy, brings confusion, discouragement. God says, pull it out. And I write down what the Lord told me that day, that month. And I say, it is written. It's going to come to pass. Well, you see, you will understand what it says in the book of Jeremiah that says, I have a plan for you. We say it, we quote it, but we don't really obey it. It says, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plan to prosper you, guaranteed. Take it to the bank. Not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. And then he says, then. Everybody say then. That's a magic word. Then, if you understand that I have a plan for you, and it's so important that you are writing it down according to the book of Habakkuk, that you write it down, make it plain, you read it, run it, put an appointed time, because it's guaranteed will come to pass. If you understand really that my plan for you is important, hello, we write down a lot of things, but we never write down what God says. And he says, and when you write it down, when you understand that my plan is important, then when you call me, when you pray to me, when you come to me, I will listen to you. If you feel today that God is not listening, then maybe it's bad because we are not putting and writing down what is important. When you're writing a scripture, you know, I write a lot of scriptures. And somebody, he's a professor in the university with Greek and, Hebrew and Greek or something, and everybody's scared of him because he's a very strict professor. So one day he said, Mila, can I look at your journal? I spoke, in the pastors' network, like 100 pastors, in different churches. And then after I spoke, he said, that's really interesting. Where do you get your, my messages? I said, oh, the Lord just gives it to me, and it goes shh, like this, and it goes shh, like that. He didn't understand what I meant. I said, I'm telling you, when the Lord speaks to me, it goes shh, like that. And then he says, can I look at your journal, he said. So anyway, he went to our house. We had lunch, with his wife and some other professors. And so I gave him my journal, and my journal, I'm telling you, has some flowers in it, has some heart in it. It's purple, yellow, green, orange. And he says, wow. Why do you have this? It's because when the Lord says something and I feel the intensity, so I put another color. and then another moving, and then I write another flower. I said, oh, okay, keep doing what you're doing. He said, I don't know what that means. But anyway, I write in my journal. And so God is saying to you, you need to write it down.
Because, you know, as a CEO of companies, I say, if somebody wants to meet with me, I want to know if he has a business plan. If he doesn't have a business plan, he's wasting my time. People who doesn't have a plan will waste your time. I have a plan. I'm 72 years old. And I want to finish God's purpose in my life. I want to see a revival in my home. I want to see men and women prosper in the marketplace. And I also included that, Lord, I want to be the one to take care of my husband until you call him home. Because he's been so good to me, I want to pay back. We have to have a plan. I want you guys today to, when you go home, you write down what God has called you in this church, the name, the salvation of your household. What vision do you want to see happening inside the circle of your life? So, we need to have this plan. And one of these plans is to have an audience with the king. Part of my plan is I want to have an audience with the king. You know, Jerry asked me, Mila, you know, about the schedule. And women, listen, each one of you should participate in that prayer for 15 minutes, I think 20 minutes, for women that we have on Sunday morning, Monday morning. Participate. Because you can get the splash, the coattail anointing, until you're going to learn how to flow in that. You know, it's so beautiful to listen to women just pray in the spirit. You need to participate in that prayer group. And I told Jerry, I said, you know, because I have a back-to-back prayer. I have a 5:30 morning, in the morning prayer. And then I have another, you know, very right after that, another prayer. So I have different prayer. And I told Jerry, I might, you know, overflow. So I listen, I really come in and I just listen to you guys pray. And you know what, then I have another prayer that I prayed, we take communion, and then we have another prayer from the Philippines. But we are participating with a lot of anointing that is flowing in the air. Because you know what, you and I, just by ourselves, yes, we are powerful because the Lord says so, but we are more powerful when we are among groups that's praying together. So I want you to participate in that. So we have an audience with the king. And I always say this, will you please let this king speak? When you have an audience with the king, he's the most important person in that room, let him speak. The Lord told me one time, he says, Mila, can you let me speak? I am the most important part of this whole equation. I know exactly what you need before you even speak. So let me minister to you. Let me transform you in the secret place that says danger, high voltage. When you pray, God says, don't be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. I always say this. If your prayer life today is only limited to people seeing you pray, then something is wrong with our prayer life. If you and I are not in the secret place, closed door, one-on-one, audience with the king, then God is asking you, intensify your prayer life. Because there's something that happens when you and I decide that we are going to be in a secret place, closed door. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. Are we receiving the reward 40%, 60%, not 100-fold? Because God says, you're only limiting yourself to prayer with a group. I want you to pray with me one-on-one. And I will give you the intensity of what you've been waiting for, 100-fold return. And he says, but when you pray, go into your room, close the door, pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you, guaranteed, take it to the bank. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of many words. You know why the prayer meeting becomes longer? Because it's many words. People who keep repeating the prayer because they were not sure God heard them the first time. You know, we have prayers, you know, with the Philippines, you know, with a different
groups, and you know, we pray, we beginning of the prayer, Lord, help my son, help me, my husband, help our finances. And then 30 minutes later, he calls back, excuse me, that's done already. Why are we repeating that? You did not believe God heard you the first time? We agreed with you. You see, we need to bring into this discipline of really believing that the God who hears us is guaranteeing that his word will not return void. It says here, and when you pray, he says, do not be like them, for your father knows what you need before you ask him. It is an insult to our father to keep begging him. What kind of a father is he? My dad, I never begged my dad. Well, you know, I can say that, and I know there's a lot of fathers that has not given that example, but the Father in heaven, you don't have to beg him. You know, God is asking us today that when you pray, you need to understand the power of who you're praying to. It is a nagging, non-productive, babbling repetition. It's like a murmuring language of evil when you keep repeating, God, please, God, please, God, please, God, please. What's going on? Then we need to take them aside and let them teach them the assurance and the boldness of asking your daddy. I'm going to go later on and show you, and the Lord showed that to me. I want you to shift your prayer. I want you to understand I am your daddy better than the fathers of the world. Because when you have a closed door encounter, God says, and when you are going to prevail, because the crown is only given to the conquerors. In other words, according to the book of Revelation, it says, the one who is victorious, I will give the right to sit with me on the throne. When we want a reward from the Lord, God says, I want you to be victorious in your prayer life. You're not going to move. You see, when they told me that, you know what, your father, your mother are already 60 years old, and people who are already successful and who hasn't yet yielded to the gospel, it's going to be very hard to lead them to the Lord. And I went before the throne. It says, you promise me salvation will come to my household. And the Lord showed me a vision of my father coming to the Lord. And I said to them before, I led my father to walk into the historical church of the Angelus Temple down the aisles when he accepted the Lord. I walked my mother down the aisles to the Angelus Temple. And I walked so many of my brothers and sisters on the altars of Angelus Temple. Because God promised salvation will come to your whole household. It is a bullseye prayer God wants us to do. It is in boldness and confidence. It is a requirement of warfare. You see, boldness and confidence, if you read it, this Hebrews chapter chapter 19, I think it's chapter 10. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus Christ. You know that boldness is a Greek word that means freedom of speech. You know, can you imagine? In the United States of America, they want to shut our mouth. They want to cover our mouth. And there is a freedom of speech that right now is in danger. And the Lord reminded me, maybe because my children are not having freedom of speech in the courtroom of the king. We need to be bold when we go to the courtroom of the king. And nobody can steal that freedom of speech from us. So he says, you need to have boldness and access with confidence through faith in him. And you know that's what, you know why God keeps telling you need to have boldness and you need to have confidence? Because God says to you, fasten your seatbelts. You know, in the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, Hebrews chapter 4, and Hebrews chapter 3, it says here, in the hope, it says, let us hold unswervingly. In other words, God says, tighten your seatbelts. You decide to be in a prayer warrior. I want you to fasten your seatbelts. There's going to be, the enemy is going to discourage you. The enemy is going to tell you that your nephew is not going to come because the California law said he's going to die in prison. We're going to come in boldness and confidence. We overrule what the world said so.
In confidence, your word will not return to your void. So God is saying to us that you need to fasten your seatbelt, because seeing then that we have a great high priest who passed through the heavens, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, let us hold fast. Hang on, you guys. But I prayed for a month already. We prayed for 20 years. Let us hold fast in our confession. We have come to share Christ if indeed we hold our original convictions firmly to the end. Because God is saying to you, you know why I want you to hold fast in your conviction? Because, warning, the weather forecast of heaven says there's going to be turbulence. John 16:33, that is part of your promise scripture, guys. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. Because in the world you will have tribulation. That's a promise. But he, be of good cheer, he said, because I have overcome the world. You know what God is saying? That you know why you have to have a seatbelt on? Because there's going to be tribulation. That is the weather of the world. But God says, don't worry. I made it, so you will make it. Because we need to be serious when we say, I want to be a prayer warrior. All aboard, God says, ready. We're ready to take off. Because God says, in this tribulation, you will triumph. You want to know what is triumph? The book of Romans, chapter 5. It says, glory in tribulation, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope, and hope does not disappoint you. There's a lot of Christians today who are depressed, who are in despair, who are devastated. But God is saying, I want you to face tribulation, because this tribulation will pay rent. You know, Dr. Howard Helms, one of our covering, you know, he was telling Mila, every time the devil comes, let him pay rent. If the enemy is giving you a hard time, this pandemic, we are all going to rise up and we're going to fill our church. We're going to fill our church with our neighborhood. I'll fill our church with our family. We're going to see this church overflow, because Satan is going to pay back sevenfold. This, you have been having a harassment with your finances. You get ready, because God is about ready to pay you back. I really believe that. A lot of people, I said, I cannot believe anything else. You know? So that's why I do not want to have mammon be an agenda in my prayer life. Because mammon is really under my feet. I tell mammon where to go. Every time I make a check, I say, mammon, I'm telling you today, you are going to go to the orphanage, because we are supporting the orphanage. You're going to go to the missionary, because we are supporting the missionary. That's what we mean by putting mammon under our feet. God is going to start blessing the church. I really see this. I believe this. I see that the church that has been pressed with finances, and the Christians who have been, you know, robbed of their finances, I believe that's part of our prayer life. The Lord, you're going to bless your children so the world will see that you are a better father than the world. Are you guys excited about this? I'm excited about this. And so he says, and God is saying to you, my grace, do not abuse my grace. I want us to read in Titus chapter 2, verse 11 to 12. For the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. It teaches us to what? To say no to ungodliness. So God, when God is saying to you, well, I do, God have grace. He understands me when I make mistakes, when I don't want to pray, or when I don't want to forgive. God says, no, I gave you grace, so you will say no to ungodliness. Isn't that amazing? When I read that, God says, wow. I said, that means you and I today have been given notice that because of my grace, you can say no to sin. You can say no to discouragement. And finally, the family of God is going through also suffering. This is important for us to understand this. The whole world is going through suffering. Our family abroad is going through suffering. So whatever tribulation we're going to go through, God says, you're not the only one. My people is suffering all over the world. You know, I go to China. We went to China. I mean, you know, Dalian is, I mean, of course, in every city of China, it's all millions and millions of people, you see. But you can see people there, they do not have any other choice. They all have to, you know what, even when we speak, we have red guards on the walls, you know, listening to us. We have to ask permission and give them the message that we're going to speak. You know, one day we're ready to go, and they called Sister Mila, we want you to preach. You know, I spoke in the businessmen and women convention. We have a lot of European business people we met in China, but we brought a lot of intercessors with us. And this time, you know, I spoke there, and then they asked after I spoke, says, "Do you think you can give us? Tomorrow is Sunday. You can preach." But you know, we have to ask permission from them before we can preach. But because they thought that we were just business people, oh, you're going to have another business meeting? They gave us a big conference. Whoa, I'm telling you, this is amazing. But all of them were, all the red guards were listening. And I preached there, it's amazing. But you see, in China, everybody, you know, when they go to church, they leave all their cell phone in the locker box because they don't want them to be followed. People are suffering. And so God is saying to us, this tribulation you're going through is because you are mine. The enemy is shaking you because you are mine. But more than anything is that you need to understand that Jesus himself understands what you're going through. He says, because although he was a son, he says he learned obedience to the things which he suffered, Hebrews chapter 5. So in other words, when we go through that, God is saying to you, don't worry. I understand what you're going through. And how you're going to pass through this is obedience. Everybody say obedience. You know, when I started my prayer life, I told the Lord, "Okay, Lord, wake me up. Okay, yes, wake me up. I'm ready. I'm so excited. I go to sleep, you know." And then He wakes me up and He says, "Can you wake me up tomorrow?" And you know, again, He wakes me up again. "Oh, can you do it next week, Lord? Because I'm really very busy. You know, I'm doing all these businesses." But the Lord understands me. But God told me, "Mila, obedience." One day, I woke up in obedience. And the rest was history. I'm now 72 years old. There is a mark in my life that the morning is His territory. Whether I'm going to be awake until 4 o'clock in the morning decorating, God is saying, "You give that mark to me. That's my territory, Mila. That's an appointment you and I have agreed." We need to make that obedience in our hearts today. May it be just 15 minutes, but give Him that morning. Give Him the first few minutes of the day when you wake up. And we have special reserved seatings that's not occupied. I want to read this to you. It says, "And God raised you and me up with Christ and seated us with Him in heavenly realm in Christ Jesus." In other words, God says, "I have a reserved sitting for you, and I already paid for it with my blood." You know, those of you who are Dodgers fan, you know, my daughter is a Dodgers fan, and I didn't know it's so expensive, Dodgers fan. You know, He has all these people, the small people, you know, put in the shelf in my office. I said, "Who's that?" "Oh, Mom, these are all the Dodgers." You know, that head that moves, whatever. Every collection. And then he goes, "Mom, I want to go to New York. I want to watch the Dodgers." You know, well, she works for me, so we have to give her some good, incentives. It's a very good young lady running our company. And so, you know, "Why are you going there?" "Oh, we're going to watch the Dodgers." And they lost, you know, when they go to... So what happened? "But it's still worth it." I said, "Okay." I mean, you know, go to New York and you have to watch somebody of your team lose anyway. But God has given you and me a reserved seating, and we need to occupy it. You know what it is? It's front seat. Special seating. In other words, when we go to court, when you and I show up, can you imagine Valley Community Church women show up in court? The demons of hell will shake. It changes the formation of the heavenlies. You think, "Oh, I don't know how to pray. I'm not that important." God says, "Just go there to be the amen crowd." Maybe that amen will be the drop of that they're waiting for to tilt the bowl over to put the thunders and lightnings against the evil one. Can you imagine if you are the last drop that could cause that bowl to tilt over? So show up in prayer time. Show up. I'm telling you, we are so important with the Lord. And we sometimes the prayer doesn't have a breakthrough because somebody is staying home because they think they're not important, because somebody can pray loud, knows how to say the scripture, and who am I? Yes, you could be that last drop that they're waiting for the bowl to tilt over. I really believe the Lord is going to steer a lot of people in this church too. I mean, we are going to have more. Because you know what, when we have prayer meeting, there's not a lot of people, right? But I really believe it's going to be the change. We're going to be packing our prayer, meetings. And that is what God is waiting for. So, because why are we doing that? Because we're going to the Supreme Court of the universe. You know, we have been losing a lot of battle in the lower courts of the world. God says, go to the Supreme Court. Take it to the higher court. When they say no to you, you go to the Supreme Court of the universe. When they say no to you and say no, you're going to have this, your family is going to be broken, there's no resolution, there's no solution, and you're going to go to the Supreme Court of the universe. Because we have high stakes negotiation, guys. You know why this is so important? Because the stakes are higher, because these are the souls of men. This is your son, your daughters, your family, your marriages, your uncles, your aunts. God is saying, I want you to show up because this is important. This is very important for us. And so I want to just emphasize to us today, why is it so important to go to the Supreme Court of the universe? Because God is looking for witnesses. You shall be a witness unto me. I need you to come before the courts and say, yes, I am a witness. He said that it shall be. I agree with that word. This is where we come that we demand Calvary's victory to be enforced. I shared with you my brother who was an alcoholic. You know, I was so embarrassed with him. I love him so much. If you go to my house, I have a lot of different furniture that doesn't match. Those are furniture that my brothers made. You know, my three brothers made me some nice, beautiful gifts. It doesn't really match my furniture, but who cares? It's from my brother. And, you know, so I said, Lord, please, can you please just save him? Because, you know, when he's drunk, he breaks furniture. He ruins our parties, you know. And your sophistication goes out the window. You understand? And when one day I prayed, I said, Lord, I want you to save him. And the Lord spoke to me, do you want me to save him because for you, or do you want him saved because of me? God has already paid the price. It's not because of how long you pray. It's not because of your issues. It's because he said so. And that very week, my brother got saved. He went through a very major diagnosis. He didn't tell any one of us. And we found out that he was already on the way to the emergency up to the operating room to remove his larynx because they have diagnosed him with a cancer of the larynx. That early morning, I called all my sisters, called sick, all of us. We went to, the UCLA hospital. And they were wheeling him out from the room. And we just caught him in time. And I said, stop before you put him in the operating room. We all laid hands on him. We prayed over him. He accepted the Lord. And he went to the operating room. After 45 minutes, they came back. And the doctor says, I didn't know what happened. But there's nothing for us to remove. God healed him in that instant. You know what it is? Demanding Calvary's victory to be enforced. But God is looking for men and women. As it is in heaven, so shall it be done on earth. God is looking for earth to agree with God, what God has already decreed. So that's where we. So
We need to appeal to the higher court. We need to understand this. I want to read this because, you know, this is something new to me in the last how many months. And the Lord reminded me about this. Because the higher court of heaven is the final appeal, the final appeal. The state of California, it cannot be changed. Year after year, they said no to us. But we took it before the higher courts, a final place of appeal. Therefore, settle in your heart. This, settle it in your heart not to meditate beforehand on what you will answer, for I will give you a mouth and wisdom which all the adversaries will not be able to contradict or to resist. To those of us who are reading this, we're waiting to be sued in court, right? 89 to 99.9% of the church will not go to court. But what is God talking about? There is a higher court that I want you to show up, and don't worry if you don't know how to pray. Don't worry if you don't have an experience to pray. I will teach you what to say when you come before me. I'll put it in your heart how to plead the case. This is what God is talking about. When you go to court, you're going to overrule the accusation of the evil one. When you go to court, you're going to silence the guilt that Satan is putting in your heart that you do not deserve for me to listen to you. When you go to court, Satan is not going to say to you that your son deserved this. Satan is not going to say to you, because you've been bad before, that's why you deserve this. God says, when you go to court, I'm going to give you the word to say that the enemy cannot overrule you or refute you. Because Jesus said, the advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send to you in your name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything that I have said to you. The executor, the administrator of your inheritance, the Holy Spirit, will remind you. So God says, I want you to decree and declare. But one of the things that you need to do is, in the book of Psalms, it says, set guard over your mouth and keep watch over your lips. So what God is saying to you, pray and shut up. Hello? A lot of our prayers get overruled because after we pray, oh, I think, I don't know, I'm going to get sick. We just prayed for your healing, and right away, your mouth opens up, oh, I'm going to get sick. Or we just prayed for your son, and now you say, oh, I don't know what he's going to be doing today. You understand? I mean, somebody is going to be sick, and right away, our mouth, is it COVID? Listen, the power of agreement is not just limited to the children of the king. It's also a dynamic that Satan uses. He's waiting in the air to look for an agreement from somebody in Valley Community Church. That's going to say, oh, he's 12, 79 years old, oh, God's going to call. We just pray that he's going to be healed. God can call him the next day, but we should all have people going home, not sick. You understand this? And we need to come before the place and say, Lord, yes, you can heal him if you're calling him, but he has to be healed because you pay the price for it. I told the Lord, Lord, when you call me home, I don't want to stop over in the hospital, okay? Just call me straight home. This is something that you and I today can ask and write in your journal. Lord, that is what I want. But God says, so you need to sit over your guard of your mouth. A lot of us has not heard our prayers answered because we sabotage our prayers ourselves. Because Satan is looking for somebody to agree with him. Any two of you shall agree on earth. Any two of you shall agree on earth. So the power of your words is very important. I say to you that every idle word that man may speak, they will give an account of it in the day of judgment. Those are legal courtroom language. Because Jesus says, the words you say will either acquit you or condemn you, either justify you or condemn you. And God says, no weapon formed against you will prosper, it says. Because every tongue which rises against you in judgment, you will condemn. Not God, you. Somebody said that your son
It's going to be no God. And you're going to say, don't believe him. You better believe it. There was just a word that was said against your son. And God says, you refute it. You oppose it. You know, I was telling this morning, my son, you know, these young people, when they're growing up, they would say, oh, kill me. You know how they're trying to be, you know, whatever, in the crowd. Oh, yeah, kill me. You know, my son used to say that. I follow him around the house. I said, I want you to rebuke your mom. It's just, you know, a saying. He said, no, you rebuke that until he's going to say, okay, I rebuke it. Then I stop following him. Because I am serious about what words comes out in your mouth. In fact, when people say that they are prayer warriors, I just listen to them in their conversation. And I see them hearing negative words. I'm not going to ask them to pray in agreement with me. Hello? Because you are dangerous. I have a mission. I have a mission from the Lord to see a revival in my home. Revival in my family, revival in our church. And if you say you are a prayer warrior and you do not put guard in your mouth, then you are dangerous. You need to change our language. Because God is serious about where we're going. God says, because life and death is in the power of the tongue, isn't it? And whatsoever you shall say, the book of Mark 11:23, for I say unto you, whosoever shall say to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and doubt in their hearts, but believe that those things that he says. Do you believe the words that comes out of your mouth? I ask the Lord, I want you to give me a job, a good job. You want me to be in business? I'm a wife, I'm a mother, I clean houses, I clean my home, I wash dishes, I cook dinner. My husband, not really. Some of you are expert in dinner. I cook him eggs, fried eggs, scrambled eggs, eggs with tomato and eggs, you know. But he's happy. So I said, Lord, you know, I cook and I wash dishes, and you want me to be in business? And my husband was already in residency training. And so I said, well, okay, so give me a business and give me a job that's part-time that will make me a lot of money so I don't have to spend a lot of time. Because I'm a mom. I will not stop being a mom. I will not stop being a wife. So God gave me a part-time business of $500,000 a year. I'm saying that to you because I don't know what I'm doing. I really don't. I just hire a lot of people that makes me look good. Trust me. There's a lot of things that they talk about that I don't know anything. So after the meeting, he says, what were you talking about? This is so crazy. So you hire people who are smarter than you, and then you just look good. Anyway, but the Lord promised me, I want you to start a business because I want you to do and infiltrate the marketplace. I want you to believe that for you. You might be 30, 50, 60 years old. God is still able to put it together. God is still able to put it together for you. I am telling you, a lot of you have promises that was given to you, and you're wondering when it's going to come to pass. God's not waiting for heaven. God wants it to happen here. And I want to partner with you. Terry and I want to partner with you. I have never seen, I have seen a lot of pastors who really love their congregation. You know, everything they do, little things, you know, they put an effort because they believe and honor you. And I really believe that this time we need to really embrace this and let the Lord heal us, okay? So, the things, whatsoever things that we ask. The Bible says we need to shift the souls of men. When you start understanding what is valuable to God, God says, I'll take care of the rest. Whatsoever things you ask, you shall have. But you know what? Things, the clothes on your back, food on your table, are we there? Souls of men. You follow through this so you can follow with your handouts. I know you're looking at me like, what's she talking about? I know I talk so fast and I'm all over the place. But things will pass away
with no eternal value. And you know, Terry was telling us in the beginning of this session that we have, that God is saying in the book of Psalms, he says, how long will you love worthless, and seek falsehood? And the Lord just spoke to me, those are things with no value, no eternal value. I've learned this in my Christian walk. God says, Mila, I am your father. That's my responsibility. Clothing on your back, food on your table, that's my responsibility. I want you to partner with me. Real treasures. Whatsoever things you ask, God says, those are just things. Your jewelry, your clothing, your food, those are just things. Get over it. Believe it. And let's go to the real agenda, the souls of men. You know, God, my husband really has pampered me a lot. I always say, you know, God really answers all my prayer, but he lets my husband sign the check. You know, they said that Jesus was really very rich, you know. That, can you imagine somebody who have a seamless robe that they cannot dare tear it because it was so beautifully, you know, tailored that they have to draw lots. I always say, Jesus is really very rich, you know. He just have a carte blanche. His dad signs all the checks every time he needs one. You know what? 5,000 to feed? It's so crazy, right? Well, God is saying to you, don't worry about the clothing that you need, the car that you need. You guys believe that, right? I have come not to that place, Lord. I don't want to be bothered seeking about the thing that I need. I mean, you know, you're going to give that to me. I understand when we didn't have a car. You know, I was sharing with some people. We didn't have a car when we first got married. My husband was so strict, and he still is strict. And he says, you don't need to call your dad. I don't need to call my mom. We're going to start our life together, and we're going to go on a budget. That was the biggest shock of my life. I called my dad right away. Dad, did you know he's going to put me in a budget? I thought my dad was going to tell me, don't worry. I'll take care of it. You know what my dad says? You follow him. I knew I was in trouble. You know, we would go to the grocery store, and we bring this cart, you know, going back to our house because we didn't have a car. This is really crazy. My husband started all his practice here all over, you know, and so I was just, you know, in my nursing paycheck. And, you know, I have $2 a week to go to McDonald's. That's how poor we were. And, you know, we would push this cart, you know, because, and we would invite people to church who has a car so we can go to church. But the Lord showed me this. I want you to understand what is valuable. And I will be the father to you. Better than any father of the world. God said, I want you to understand that things are just things, but souls are not things. Things you can just ask. You know, the Lord knows what are your what's special to you. You know, I told somebody that I have so many jewelry that if the Lord comes, I still will not be able to use all of it. And, you know, it's so crazy. So I'm trying to let my daughter love my jewelry. She said, oh, Mom, they're so gaudy, Mom. My husband buys me some gaudy things. They're nice, really. And because, you know, she doesn't like jewelry. So I told my two grandchildren, I said, do you want to see Grandma's jewelry? Oh, Grandma, can I have this, Grandma? So I kept saying, yes, yes, yes. And so my daughter came in and says, no, after me. Now she loves my jewelry because my two grandchildren loves it. But you know what I'm just saying to you? That God really gives us the desires of our heart. It doesn't really matter. Those are just things. We do not have to waste tears and fasting and praying for God to give us cars and God give us things. God says, I want you to travail for souls. God says, if you're going to travail for souls, I will take care of things for you. So, because the Bible says in the book of Romans chapter 8, since he did not spare even his own son, but gave him up for us all, won't he also give us everything else? That's a carte blanche. You see? And so he says here in the book of Matthew, this is important. Matthew 11, it says, I surely, I say to you, among those born of women,
there was not risen one greater than John the Baptist, but he who is the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. And you know what God spoke to me? Will you be violent for me? In my prayer life, God said, I want you to be violent for me. I want you to travail for souls for me. So in my job, the Lord says, I want you to pray for the doctors and the nurses and the patients. I want you to pray for all the way from the sixth floor to the all the way to the basement. People got saved, and the Lord started promoting me. $7.50 an hour. They asked me to mop floors. I was an RN. I'm an RN. I still mop floors. And the young man that was telling me, the one that mops our floor, the one that cleans a room, can you just mop the floor for me? Because I'm busy. You know, we are doing surgery. And I told the Lord, Lord, I'm an RN here. How come I'm mopping the floor? You know, the Lord says, just mop the floor. Say, Mila, they're not asking you to break the Ten Commandments, okay? Just mop the floor. And that when I mop the floor, that, you know, he's a a black young man and married to a Caucasian. I mopped the floor, and you know what he said to me? You know what? Now I know you're a Christian. This is so crazy. And that day, we went to the, you know, our lounge, you know, to break. He accepted the Lord. And his wife accepted the Lord. And the Lord told me, I want you to travail for souls for me. And you know, in the process of time, the Lord, you know, gave me a lot of different hospital contract, gave me a lot of promotion. That $7.50 an hour, now that hospital pays me $3,000 a day when I come in. And you know what God said to me? I want you to travail for souls for me. I want you to be violent for me. And I will take care of things for you. And all these things shall be added unto you. So we have high-stake negotiation for eternal value. And as I said before, do not let hell use you as a partner of agreement, a ratifying center of evil. We need to make a decision when we walk out of this place today. Satan is not going to use my tongue as a partner of evil for him. We will never say anything negative. We will never agree with anything that's evil, because we are going to be used as a tongue to decree to the Lord whatsoever things we ask, but we are going to fight for souls. Amen? I'm going to close with this. You know, the lethal anointing of our footprints. I want you to understand this. Your footprints is really very dangerous. Did you know that? Every land that the sole of your foot shall step on is yours. When you go home today, and you are going to believe that you have really been called by the Lord, that you really believe that God's promise says that I will give you salvation to your household, the minute you step into your home, believing that word, I'm telling you, there's going to be an alignment in the heavenlies. There's going to be a battle formation in the heavenlies. That there's going to be an announcement, this is a no-fly zone in this place. Because there is a general of the king, a bride with hair, combat boots that says, I am ready for battle. Guys, I want you to start seeing that there's going to be changes in your home. There's going to be, as you go in, there's going to be in battle formation. When you come here in church, because you show up, you might not be the biggest speaker or not, you know, you don't do anything. But because you came here today, there is a battle formation that's changing in the atmosphere of this church. So show up. There is what we call a showing up anointing. And so when you go visit your brothers and your sisters' home, you know, those of you who are not talking to your brothers and sisters, you need to restore that relationship. Because you know what that is? Satan doesn't want you to claim the land. You make a decision that I am going to be the peacemaker. And when you go to their homes, you're going to clean their toilets. You're going to clean their floors. That's what I did to my brothers and sisters. I volunteer. because I throw away all those things that need to be thrown away, you know. And I accidentally break some things that need to be broken too. Because I'm cleaning for free, you understand? And I clean up, and I'm going to babysit. So I babysit all my nieces and nephews, you know, in the summertime. And they go home, and my brother-in-law says, "What happened, Ming?" That's my name. "They're all brainwashed now." "Papa, Daddy, you need to pray." "Who told you, Auntie Mila?" It changed our atmosphere. You know what it is? We are taking the footprints, anointing footprints, in Jesus' name. I'm just going to close right now. Father, I thank you today, Father God, in Jesus' name. You've said in my heart that you're going to be healing spiritual and physical wounds tonight. Father God, any fibroids in the physical, any bleeding in the physical, any pap smears that's questionable, I thank you, Lord, that you're going to establish tonight that Calvary's victory be enforced. And Lord, I pray for spiritual wounds to be restored today, intercessors to rise up today, that they are going to be willing to be birthing souls for you, that we will travail for souls, Father, and all of those things shall be added unto us. In Jesus' name, Terry. Just.